Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, our sermon text consists of two verses that come from the gospel lesson recorded in Matthew's gospel, chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their outer clothing on them, and he sat on it. A very large crowd spread their outer clothing on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them out on the road. And we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are many fine charitable organizations out there. One goes by the name Coats for Kids. This foundation was established in the year 2004, and it has the purpose of providing brand new coats to kids who are in need so those kids can stay warm in the cold winter months. The foundation has become quite sophisticated to the point where kids who need a coat can actually go online and pick out the kind of coat that they want and pick out the color that they prefer. Other charitable organizations have jumped on the bandwagon, like Knights of Columbus. And since its founding, Coats for Kids has provided over 90,000 coats for needy kids. Now, I've been thinking about coats quite a bit of late. Part of it has to do with the Chicagoland weather. You get up in the morning, you check the temperature, and you ask yourself, should I grab a coat today or not? And if you think, oh boy, it's going to be a nice, sunny, warm day, and all of a sudden in the afternoon the weather changes and you regret your decision not to grab a coat. But the other reason I've been thinking about coats this week is because of what is found in our text. I mean, we call today Palm Sunday, but we might as well call it by another name. We might as well call it Coat Sunday. Thinking about how coats were used on Palm Sunday. Today, let's rejoice in the events of Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday because it kind of serves as a chance for us to catch our breath after the weeks of Lent before we head into the events of Holy Week. Today, let's consider our text using a very simple theme, coats for a king. First of all, from our text, we see how the disciples and people in the crowd use their coats for Jesus the king. In our gospel lesson, we learn how Jesus sent those disciples ahead to retrieve a couple of beasts of burden. And the disciples came back with two animals. They retrieved a donkey and her colt, or foal. And so when those animals were brought to Jesus, we're told that the disciples put their coats on them, making makeshift saddles, because they did not know which one Jesus was going to ride on. Well, if they knew their Bible, if they knew from Zechariah what Zechariah says, they would have known that Jesus was going to ride only on that colt. And, of course, Mama Donkey walked along the colt to keep that colt calm, especially as the crowd is shouting and chanting and thronging around Jesus. Imagine that was your coat. You put it on the donkey. Put it on the colt. Jesus rides into the city. And after the procession, you retrieve your coat. You know what it's going to smell like, right? It's going to smell like that colt or like that donkey. Then we're told that as people marched with Jesus, they cut down palm branches and they put those palm branches in his path. But we're also told that the people in the crowd took their coats and they strew them in the path of Jesus, kind of like rolling out a red carpet for the coming king. Imagine you were one of the people in the crowd that did that. All of a sudden, the procession marches by and you go to retrieve your coat. What's your condition of your coat going to be in? It's going to be all filthy and dirty. It's going to have footprints all over it. It's going to have hoof prints all over it. But the people didn't care. They did this act joyously, spontaneously, willingly. This was a simple yet majestic way of honoring Jesus, of glorifying Jesus for all the miracles that he performed, a way to welcome Jesus as king into the city of Jerusalem. I'm kind of old, but I do remember back long ago some customs that were part of something called chivalry. And one of those customs goes like this. If there's a woman and she's cold and there's a man nearby, even if the man's a stranger, what was the man supposed to do? He was supposed to offer to that woman his coat. Why? Because her warmth and comfort was more important than his warmth and comfort. It was a simple gesture basically stating, "You, ma'am, are more important than me." I think that's the message that the crowd wanted to give to Jesus on Palm Sunday. They wanted to say to Jesus, "You, Jesus, are more important than me." The crowd acted willingly, spontaneously, and joyously without being coerced. For those apostles, it was unthinkable that Jesus would ride into the city on a colt bareback. And so they used their coats to make a makeshift saddle. It was a small gesture, but one with great meaning. And the shouts of praise and the adoration that came from the crowd served the same purpose of honoring Jesus as king. And that, of course, is what we want to do as God's people with our lives. We want to say, "Jesus, you are more important than me. Jesus, my life is designed to honor you." And ironically, Jesus does speak about using even our clothing to honor him. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus gives the scenario of judgment day with the sheep, the believers on the right, and the goats, the unbelievers on the left, he's going to say to the sheep that are on the right, "When I needed clothes, you clothed me." Teaching us that whatever we do for others around us, for the least in the kingdom of God, we do it for him, we do it unto him, and we do that joyfully and willingly, especially thinking of the events of Holy Week. When Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room on Maundy Thursday evening, he took off his coat, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he did the work of a servant, of a slave. He washed his disciples' feet, and he taught them, "This is how you are to treat one another." And then on Good Friday, what did Jesus do? He gave up his only earthly possession, that coat that was woven from top to bottom, without a seam. That was the only thing that our Lord and Savior owned, his own only earthly possession that was greedily grabbed by those Roman soldiers at the foot of the cross as they cast lots to see who would get it. And then ultimately he gave up his life to pay for our sin. Coats for a king. The disciples used their coats to honor Jesus as king. Now, let's see from our text our coat for this king. As you think about the events of Palm Sunday, try to imagine what was going through Jesus' mind as he mounted that colt, and as he rode into the city of Jerusalem, as he saw people cut branches and put them in his path and put their coats in his path, as he heard the shouts of Hosanna and praise. In a certain sense, Jesus was going to the city of Jerusalem to wear a coat. A coat that belonged to all of those people in that crowd. A coat that belongs to all people in the world. A coat that belongs to you and me as well. This coat was completely foreign to him. This coat did not fit him. It was not made of nylon, wool, or cotton, or leather. I'm talking about an unseen coat. A coat that's been looming on the horizon for Jesus ever since he came into this world. I'm talking about a coat of sin and guilt and God's righteous wrath over sin. A coat of condemnation. It didn't belong to Jesus. It wasn't of his making, but instead of our own making. Because this was God's plan of salvation, that Jesus would go to Jerusalem and wear this coat of sin and guilt and shame in our place. That the one who knew no sin might become sin for us. The one who had no iniquity would have the iniquity of us all placed upon him. Even as Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem, the prospect of wearing that coat of sin and guilt and shame loomed in front of him. But what did he do? Did he ride for the hills? Did he run? Out of love for you and me, he steadily headed toward Jerusalem. He endured that day when he was stripped of his own coat, naked on the cross. He wore this coat of sin and guilt and shame and condemnation, a coat which was of our own making. Let me ask you this question. How do we honor our champions in this country? If there's a professional golfer who plays at Augusta, Georgia in the Masters tournament and has the good luck of winning that tournament, how is that golfer honored? He gets the green jacket. And what about an NFL football player? If they have a long and storied NFL career, what happens to them? They get inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And what are they given? They are given a suit coat, and I think it's tan or yellow. And boy, oh boy, those inductees wear that coat very, very proudly. You remember the coat that our parents wore? Adam and Eve? It was a green jacket as well, but this one was not very durable. It was made of fig leaves, and instead of pronouncing, "We are champions," this coat declared, "Oh my goodness, we are ashamed. We have done something horrible. We have sinned against God. We have disobeyed God's lone command." And sadly, what's true about that coat of sin and guilt and shame? It's a hand-me-down. It's been handed down from generation to generation to generation, right down to each and every one of us in this room. And that hand-me-down chain would go unbroken if it weren't for the one who came into this world, Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, the sinless Son of God. What did he do? Came into this world and said, "You know what? I'll wear that thing. Give me that thing. I will wear it. I will carry it to the cross. I will pay for sin and guilt." And that's exactly what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And before I leave Adam and Eve, remember what happened to their green jackets? God replaced them with clothing that was more durable, that was made out of animal skins. I think there's significance to that. Just think about it. Animals had to die so that the crown of God's creation, Adam and Eve, could be clothed. When I think of that fact, I can't help but think about the fact that John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, finally today on Palm Sunday, our coat Sunday, I want you to see a coat from a king. In the purest sense, what the people did on Palm Sunday, cutting the palm branches, using their coats as saddles and as a carpet for Jesus, all of that was done to pay homage to Jesus, to glorify him as king. And then, of course, later on, Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king. And I remember Jesus' response. He said, yeah, I'm a king, but I'm not an earthly king. And my purpose in coming into this world was to testify to the truth. What's true about a king? Well, a king wears a kingly robe, okay? Well, if Jesus is king, what kind of a robe does he wear? He wears a robe of righteousness. In a hymn version of Psalm 24, it's described in this way. His kingly crown is holiness. You see, Jesus goes to Jerusalem not only to wear our coat of sin and guilt and shame, but also to make sure that you and I can have a different coat to wear. A coat of his holiness and his righteousness. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us when this coat was bestowed on each and every one of us. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes, all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Oh my goodness, if you are clothed with Christ, then you are clothed with everything that comes along with Christ. His righteousness, his holiness. You know, when you walked out the door this morning and you took one quick glance in the mirror, you didn't see it at all. But it's there. That glorious robe of righteousness that comes from Christ. A coat from a king, a coat fit for a king. Our Old Testament lesson for Palm Sunday comes from the book of Zechariah. It gives us that prophecy in chapter 9 about Palm Sunday. In chapter 3, Zechariah receives a very interesting vision. Before Zechariah stands a man named Joshua, who was the high priest in his day. And in this vision, Joshua is wearing a filthy robe. And Joshua stands before God, and Satan is there, and Satan is accusing Joshua, saying, God, you can't let Joshua be high priest because he's a sinner. He's done this, that, and the other thing. Well, that's Satan's job, isn't it, to accuse us before God? And sadly, you know, when he does that, he's speaking the truth, guilty as charged. But as Zechariah watches this vision, he hears the Lord God speak. God says, see, I have taken away your sin. I will put rich garments on you. So that filthy garment that Joshua was wearing is removed, and then he's given this royal, beautiful robe. And God says, you know what? What I've done for Joshua, I am going to do for all people. And then God goes on to tell how he's going to do that. He says, I am going to send the branch. Of course, that's Jesus, who will accomplish this coat exchange in a single day. And that single day you and I know as Good Friday. The day that Jesus paid for our sin. That day that we were robed in his glorious righteousness, a coat from a king. Now, some people say that clothing makes the man or the woman. Clothing can be important. I mean, if you're going for a job interview, you probably don't want to wear a t-shirt and shorts. You want to dress up and look presentable. Clothing also can affect our attitude and our actions. If there's a man wearing a suit and tie, I'm guessing he's probably going to be reluctant to change the oil on his car wearing that outfit. And if there's a woman who has a beautiful dress or an evening gown, it's going to affect her attitude, and it's going to affect her behavior as well. There are people in our society who wear special uniforms, like people in the military, and that clothing sends a message, I'm part of a group, and when we see that, we usually show respect and honor for that. Now, I'm guessing there's no dress code here at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. On the other hand, you should know there is a dress code for heaven. In the book of Revelation, we hear that the people that surround the throne of God and the Lamb in heaven are dressed in white robes that have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And maybe you remember a little parable that Jesus told from Matthew chapter 22 of a wedding banquet. The guy having a wedding banquet, and he invited people, and the initial invitees refused, and so he told the servants, go out and find people and bring them into the wedding hall banquet until the banquet hall was full. Then the host of the banquet came in, and he noticed there was one guy. He wasn't wearing the proper clothing, even though the clothing was provided by the host of the banquet. And he said, Fred, what's going on? I don't need that. I don't want to wear that. And you know what happened to that guy? He got booted to the curb. He was thrown out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have the proper wedding attire. You have the robe of Christ's righteousness by faith. Remember that. That's your invisible garment that you wear until you join those above who surround the throne of God in those white robes. You have been clothed in a coat that comes from a king. And you can rightly say with the prophet Isaiah, he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. If a suit or a dress can affect the way we think, can affect our attitude, and can affect our behavior, then just imagine the kind of effect it will have on each and every one of us if we remember that we are dressed in a coat of righteousness from Christ our King. Palm Sunday, Coat Sunday, whatever you want to call it, the bottom line is that the coats of the kids, you and me, have been worn by Christ our King, and the sin and the guilt and condemnation has been endured by him so that in turn he can give to each of us a coat of righteousness that adorns us today into eternity. So like the crowd, we will respond. We'll offer him our coat, our life, our all. Amen.